unknown the way may be, yet I do not walk alone, for the Lord will not forsake me if I follow him here. Whatever may come, he stays with me day after day, and I know my Savior is with me. He is always with me. He is always with me. In the sunshine and rain, my Jesus is always with me. When the storms are roaring, dark clouds around me, and the waves rage around me in the dark night, then he holds me by his hand, he who banishes all fear and guards me in his love. He is always with me. He is always with me. In the sunshine and rain, my Jesus is always with me. When the cares of this world are thicker than fog and beset me, when all the power of hell surrounds my soul, then I hear the voice of the Lord. Be of good cheer, I am not far away. See how much I have loved you. He is always with me. He is always with me. In the sunshine and rain, my Jesus is always with me. Dear brothers and sisters in the Lord, for today's special service from Zurich, we greet all of you who have come, and also all those who are connected worldwide, in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. It pains us all greatly, and is also a great trial for us, that the Almighty and Omniscient God has called our beloved brother Frank home. However, God does not make mistakes. Everything serves us for the best. God's thoughts are not our thoughts, and his ways are not our ways. The faithful and wise servant worked in his commission for 70 years and also preached God's holy word for our preparation in this place every last Sunday of the month for 50 years. Without the tremendous ministry of Brother Frank, we would not be here today. Brother Frank has done his ministry. The gracious Lord has now let his servant depart in peace. The Lord also means well with us. He will not abandon us, for according to his word, he will gloriously finish the work of redemption he has begun at the very end of the time of grace. Before we pray, I would like to read a word of comfort from Revelation 21, verses 1 to 7. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them, and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Up to here, this precious holy word. In verse 4 are the comforting words, And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, even from our eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. How marvelous! And verse 7 is addressed to the overcomers, the blood-bought multitude. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Oh, what confidence and what hope we can carry in our hearts, for we have been promised eternal glory. Let us pray and stand up for it. Lord God Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth, you have finished your work of creation and will now also finish your work of redemption alone. Lord, we come and cannot thank you enough for the unique ministry of Brother Frank. We thank you that he was allowed to lay down the heavy burden he had carried for the bride church for a lifetime and could then go to sleep without worrying. Lord, we have come in full expectation. Forgive us our shortcomings. Lord, we need more of you. We want to experience you anew. May your Spirit come upon us all and glorify thyself in our midst today. May all your promises be fulfilled in all of us. We ask it in your name. Amen. Praise and thanks be to the Lord, that we may again and again praise the grace of our God and the finished work He accomplished for us on the cross of Calvary. This morning, we are once again very grateful to God for His great grace and for His love and His faithfulness. And this songwriter also expresses this again and again. Oh, how marvelous is the Savior's faithfulness in love. We may become unfaithful, but He always remains faithful. And for this we are very grateful, that He has compassion for our weaknesses and that He always helps us anew in all our situations. Before we pray, I would like to read a word of God from the prophet Isaiah, from chapter 12. These are precious words. Isaiah 12, from verse 2. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For God the Lord is my strength and my song. He also is become my salvation. Therefore, with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. And in that day shall ye say, Praise the Lord, call upon His name, declare His doings among the people, make mention that His name is exalted. Sing unto the Lord, for He has done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. And we may say, it has been made known throughout the whole earth. God's word must be fulfilled in all things. And so we are grateful that it is being proclaimed among all nations. His word, His message, and what He has spoken in our day. And then it says in verse 6, Cry out and shout, thou inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee. Not only the inhabitants of Jerusalem, not only the inhabitants of Zion, but also we, beloved, want to shout and rejoice to our Lord and give Him honor and praise, and also to sing praises to Him. And so we are grateful that we need not fear, but that we may come with joy to the fountain of life that flows. May God also bless us this morning and be with us. Let us rise to pray together. Faithful God, we worship You in this morning hour, and we may proclaim with Your servant Isaiah, Behold, God is my salvation. O Lord, You have become our salvation. You are everything to us in everything. And we may say, I am full of confidence and do not fear. For the Lord God is my strength and my song of praise. Lord, You want to be and You want to remain. And You are in our midst and in our hearts. We worship You. Indeed, You have become the Savior of our souls. You have paid the price. You have come. You have brought full redemption. Thanks be to You for this. And praise and honor and glory and worship to Your wonderful name. Lord, we are so glad that we can come before You with grateful hearts and offer You honor and worship, and that we can see Your word fulfilled in our days. Your glory and Your great deeds must be proclaimed among all peoples. So you have promised, and so it must be, O Lord. And therefore we give you the honor that we see that in our days too your message is brought to all lands, and that you have people whom you call in our days, and whom you redeem from their sins, and you count them among your people. Thank you that you also have messengers, and that you send your messenger at all times. We thank you, Lord, that you are at work, and we ask you now to stay with us and dwell with us this morning. Give us grace to speak, and give us grace to listen, and give us grace to offer you honor and thanksgiving. Lord, make us so by the power of your Holy Spirit. We can take nothing from ourselves, and we are unable to conjure up anything. But we look up in faith and ask you to take away, Lord, everything that stands in your way and is not of you. Worship to your glorious and wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. Praise and thanks be to the Lord. I actually wanted to say the sentence that the Lord said when he came among his own, "Peace be with you." It is something wonderful when God can fulfill what he says through the prophet Isaiah, that his messengers go out in peace and sow a seed of righteousness. I have been thinking about this last journey, not only since last night, but also before, and in general, about the years in which the sowing has taken place. The grace that God gave was to seek peace, to pursue it, never to use knowledge to create discord, but to emphasize what unites us, what we have in common, and to ignore many things that were said in the belief and trust that God's hour is coming, and all who are of the truth will sooner or later be seized by what has been destined for them, and it will have to be given to them. It is one thing that we can especially observe in Brother Branham's ministry. There is no sermon in which dogmatism or a know-it-all attitude would somehow come to the fore, but simply out of the divine love that filled his heart, he brought the divine message, which brings out something divine in all who receive it and who can believe from the heart what he said. In these days, we have the memory of our Lord, who became man. And it is the proof of divine love. In this, the love of God has been revealed, that he stooped down to us in order to reconcile himself with us, to restore the bridge, to create fellowship and connection with Him. This morning I hurriedly read two or three scriptures from the Old Testament and then some from the New Testament. In Psalm 34, it says, verse 15, depart from evil and do good, seek peace and pursue it. In verse 19, the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. And then in Psalm 85, one of the most marvelous promises with regard to what was to happen on Calvary. Here we read from verse 8, Psalm 85, from verse 8, show us thy mercy, O Lord, and grant us thy salvation. I will hear what God the Lord will speak, for He will speak peace unto His people and to His saints. But let them not turn again to folly. Surely His salvation is nigh them that fear Him, that glory may dwell in our land. Mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Up to here, this word, perhaps the next verse, truth shall spring out of the earth, and righteousness shall look down from heaven. In the English translation, it says here, in this verse, grace and faithfulness will embrace each other. Grace and faithfulness will embrace each other. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. God has done all this. Now we must realize that we have been placed in this work of God. Yes, that we are the work of God. And we have said it often enough. We are not just talking about God's plan of salvation. We are also a part of this divine plan of salvation. And we have also emphasized this. We are the centerpiece of this divine plan of salvation. Regardless of how much and what God has included in His overall plan, the centerpiece of God's entire plan of salvation is nevertheless the chosen multitude. The centerpiece of the entire redemption and God's plan of salvation is the redeemed. And if we have understood this, and it has become a divine revelation to us, then we have been helped. Then we know that this is not about a doctrine about knowledge, but about what God has done for us and with us and through us and wants to continue to do. Surely His salvation is nigh them that fear Him. The fear of God has been the beginning of wisdom from the beginning. We can leave at home any wisdom that is not rooted in the fear of God. Every proclamation, every teaching, everything that has not been bedded in the love and fear of God cannot be a blessing. But here we have read, our God announces blessings. And this blessing has not only been announced, it has come. It has come in Jesus Christ our Lord. Everything that was prophecy in the Old Testament has become divine reality in the New Testament. All the promises from Genesis 3:15 to Malachi 3 verse 1 were given with reference to Christ and then became divine reality in Him. Here it says, show us Thy mercy, O Lord, and grant us Thy salvation. In the Old Testament, this was the longing of the prophets, the people of God, and all those who waited for the salvation of Israel. Today, without doing violence to this verse, we can say in truth, Lord, You have made us see Your salvation. Lord, You have given us Your mercy. Lord, You have granted us salvation. We must understand, and that through divine revelation, not with the mind, otherwise we will always start again. When we have understood by revelation that it is a finished work of God and that all the things that were promised to us in the prophetic word have been given to us in Christ and have become a reality, then everyone can rejoice from the heart. Show us Thy mercy, O Lord, and grant us Thy salvation. Say it in your heart today, Lord, You granted me Thy salvation. I have received Your mercy. Lord, You have saved me. It must become a personal certainty and an experience by His grace. Surely His salvation is nigh them that fear Him. This fear of God, not fear by wanting to hide, not fear of punishment, but reverence which must be shown to the Holy God from eternity to eternity. Reverence for God. Surely His salvation is nigh them that fear Him, that glory may dwell in our land. Mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. What a powerful word. I don't know. It seems like we are reading it for the first time today. But it's been in the Bible for a long time. It wasn't just written yesterday. It has long been proclaimed, believed, and experienced through the centuries, not to say millennia. Just as the prophets and men of God have spoken these things, they have become a divine reality by grace. Psalm 122 says, I read here verse 1 and then verse 6 and 7, maybe even to the end. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Our feet shall stand within thy gates, O Jerusalem. I won't read any further. You know the psalm. Now from verse 6. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee. Peace be within thy walls, and prosperity within thy palaces. For my brethren and companions' sakes, I will now say, peace be within thee. Because of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek thy good. What marvelous thoughts are expressed here. Jerusalem, the city of our God, the people of God, who have borne and believed the promises, who have been honored to have the prophets in their midst, and then finally to see the fulfillment in the Messiah. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee. Hail to those who love God and whom God has loved. This is not a one-way street, but just as God has loved us, we may love Him in return. He who has sought us and found us and made us His own wants to make something of us to the praise of His wonderful grace. I was glad, that's how we read, when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. There is no greater joy than to say to one another, let us go into the house of the Lord, to hear His word, praise His grace, and to be blessed. And we bless one another with a greeting of peace. I have just read it in John 20, when the Lord said, peace be with you. He showed them His hands, and they were glad. People who have peace with God are allowed to see the Lord, and they are refreshed. They are glad. The hymn writer sings, when peace like a river attendeth my way, then my heart rejoices and exults. How often I could have been hooked when questions were asked here and there, and I knew they would have brought discord. Blessed are those who have the grace before God to carry this peace of God in their hearts. For my brethren and companions' sakes, I will now say, peace be within thee. Because of the house of the Lord, our God, I will seek thy good. It is not just about individuals. It is about the Lord's church. It is about God being able to bring the last stretch of the journey, the last part of the plan of salvation, to a conclusion and fulfillment with us. It is not just about coming together because it is Sunday or the Sabbath, but about appearing before God, talking to Him, and letting Him talk to us, so that He can, as we have just said, bring the plan of salvation to a close by grace. In Isaiah 53, the direct suffering chapter of our Lord and Savior, it says in verse 5, but He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of Him that bringeth good tidings, that publishes peace and salvation. Perhaps we may summarize it as one sentence: who may bear the divine message and proclamation with divine peace. Then God will have to bless. He will not be able to do otherwise. And He has blessed and will continue to do so. If we go to the New Testament, then we have the great announcement that was given for the birth of our Lord and Savior. But before that, Zacharias already had some words to say through the Spirit of God. Luke chapter 1, we should read from verse 67 for the sake of context. But let us perhaps begin here with verse 77, to give knowledge of salvation unto His people by the remission of their sins. Through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the dayspring from on high has visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. A summary of what was not only to happen through Jesus Christ our Lord, but has happened. This man John was to prepare the way. And as I have often emphasized, when Zacharias was filled with the Holy Spirit, he did not pray by heart, but inwardly. It was a summary of prophetic sayings. You can all read it for yourselves. Psalm 41, verse 14, 72, 18. Psalm 111, 4. Psalm 32, 17. 1 Samuel 2, 10. You can read down the whole register. What was it? Every man of God who is filled with the Holy Spirit, every child of God, will always, I emphasize it, always preach in the bounds of the Word, pray in the bounds of the Word, believe in the bounds of the Word. And so we are helped live in the bounds of the Word. For only in these divine bounds of His Word can truly divine life be revealed. This man of God, filled with the Holy Spirit, gave his praise, just as Mary did before, who gave her song of praise, her worship, here in Luke 1, from verse 46. And look, it's the same as 1 Samuel 2, 1-10, and all the other scriptures, Psalm 111, verse 9, Psalm 103, 17, Psalm 89, 11, and Psalm 147, 6, and all the scriptures, up to 1 Samuel 2, verse 5-7, everything, by the Spirit, the words were emphasized, that were connected with the event that took place at that time. Can we understand what it means to us when the Lord, by grace, gives us the connection to all the prophetic words that were given to the church for this time as divine promises? We are not one-sided, but hit the core of the divine prophecy when we can biblically place the happenings in the plan of salvation, or now the conclusion of the plan of salvation, showing it to ourselves and say, God has predicted this, and it is being fulfilled before our eyes. These people, as we can see here, have made room for the Spirit of God. They have brought their thanksgiving before Almighty God in accordance with the respective promises that were given in the Word. If we do the same in these days, then this merely proves that we see the things that God has promised us by faith, expect them in faith, and count with them by faith that they will find their fulfillment by grace. And as it was with Zacharias, who received the promise with reference to John, for prophecy was also to be fulfilled through this. Isaiah 40, verse 3 and 4. Malachi 3, verse 1. And what happened? He couldn't quite pull himself together to believe it all. It was perhaps too high for him. But nevertheless, he praised and glorified the Lord. It says here, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins. So it is not just a knowledge that remains in the room about which one argues or discusses, but this divine knowledge of salvation leads to the experience with God, to the experience of the forgiveness of sins? What use is the knowledge of justification, of sanctification, of all these biblical teachings and promises to me, to you, or to us, if it remains knowledge, and we are not led to the experience, to the possession of these things, in the time that God has appointed for the fulfillment of His Word, these things that were previously written as a promise will become a divine reality in those who are destined to partake of them. First, the reception of the word of promise, and mixed with faith, and the Spirit of God comes upon us, and the power of the Most High overshadows us, and the seed of God's promised word must spring forth. It cannot be otherwise. It has always been like this until now. Has God changed His ways or His plans? Never ever. The strength of Israel will not lie nor repent. He is true to His word. And let me go one step further. He stands by all those who have received His word in faith. And He not only watches over His word, but also over those who have received His word in holy reverence as a promise in faith. And with this, He now watches over us. And the Keeper of Israel, He neither slumbers nor sleeps. He will be our help and our salvation. It says in the next verse, through the tender mercy of our God. Not only mercy, but the tender mercies of our God. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Our God has given His mercy and grace from His heart. Not only out of necessity, but out of the urge of divine love. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Beloved, there is nothing else so overwhelming as the love of God. It can turn into fiery coals on an icy head. Divine love has heat in it. You can be warmed by it, if not burned. This is not a picture, as Brother Branham once said, that is painted on the wall or on a picture, but in the divine love, in the divine fire, there is life, there is heat, there is light, there is what actually belongs to it. What about you today, and what about me today? When we sing, the fire of love is burning, the fire of love is burning, and we are like an icicle hanging down. Well, what is the point of our singing? The cold and the frost would call us liars. No, we must now take God's side in faith and say, Lord, we are not living in the days in which the promises continue to be announced and heralded, but we are living in the days in which all God's promises must become yes and amen, because the time of their fulfillment has come. Through the tender mercy of our God. Beloved, that overwhelms me. God has loved us deeply from the bottom of his heart, and with this deep, heartfelt love, we can love him in return, because God's mercy has been bestowed on us. A songwriter sings, I have been shown mercy, mercy that I am not worthy of. I count it among the marvelous. My proud heart has never desired it. You all know this song, and yet we boast of the grace of God that has been bestowed on us. That's how God wanted it. Through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high has visited us to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death. We think here on Isaiah 9, those who sat in darkness and the shadow of death have seen a bright light. There was to be light at evening time. Paul writes in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 3 and 4, ye brethren are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. Why are we not in darkness? Because God has given light at evening time through the prophetic revelation of his word. And that is why Peter was also able to express it at that time. The word of prophecy shines like a bright light in a dark place. We cannot help but think of the days of Moses, when all of Egypt was struck with a terrible darkness. But where God's people had gathered, the people who carried the promise and waited for its fulfillment, there was bright light. And the Bible says, the darkness in Egypt was such that you could touch it. And the light among the people of God may have been so close, so strong and powerful, that it could perhaps have been touched. But the light had seized those who were destined to come out of the realm of darkness. And who was the light? The Lord. He is the light of the world. He went before his people in the pillar of cloud and fire to give light to those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, and to set our feet on the path of peace. At the announcement, the angel then said in Luke 2, verse 13, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace in the people of God's well-pleasing. This is not a general promise, as it is given in common translations. Glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth, and goodwill toward men. There are people of God on earth in whom God is well pleased, and in these people who are pleasing to him, in these people dwells the peace of God, which passes all understanding. of men. It says here, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace in the people who are pleasing to God. Of course, we know what this means. Only those who have actually translated themselves will be able to understand how difficult it sometimes is to express what you have in front of you in your own language, especially from Hebrew or Aramaic. How often the right words are missing to express what is right. But then I say to you, if the Spirit of God is upon us and within us, then we will have the right connection to the right words and receive the right understanding by grace. Is that so or not? It is the Holy Spirit who gives life to the Word and leads us into all truth. God has people on earth in whom He is well pleased. As mentioned earlier in the Gospel of John, in chapter 20, we read from verse 19, then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. He showed them his hands and his side, his pierced hands. He wanted to say to them, I have made my love known to you indeed. Here are the signs of the divine love I have shown you. Here is my side from which the blood flowed to redeem you. The disciples, it says here, were glad because they saw their Lord. Oh, we would like to see Jesus. We don't just come here to hear about him or sing about him. We would like to see Jesus. We would like to experience Jesus. We want to be close to him in these days. And we want him to come close to us, to show us his hands and his side, so that we realize he has redeemed us. He has called us by name. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Grace and truth have embraced each other. And you and I are in this divine embrace. Without us, nothing happened and nothing will happen. For it was all for our sake. Why was God in Christ? To reconcile the world to himself. It was reconciliation. It was embrace. It was grace. It was salvation. Blessed are those who not only know this in theory, but who experience in practice that this grace of God can actually have an effect. The Lord commands us, when we enter a house, to bring the greeting of peace to that house. Oh, may God make us into people I long for this. I want to live up to these words of my Savior. And I know that I can't do it on my own. But I also know that the Lord has not only spoken words, but stands behind all His words with deeds. And if it has been promised to us here, then it is possible. If it doesn't seem to be possible to you or me, then we still have to say, as Abraham did, should anything be impossible to God? With God, all things are possible. And if we can believe that all things are possible for Him, the path of faith opens up to us. And we will say yes from the bottom of our hearts and accept that the promise is not empty, but full, full, in that God confirms the word of promise in us by grace. I wish we could greet each other and say, peace be with you. A truly divine peace that is like a river of blessing. We all long for it. And I probably gave a more detailed report yesterday than I have for a long time. And I'll tell you what it is. Exactly the same thing that Brother Branham testifies of. I also mentioned it here recently. But as my memory is not good, I should be forgiven for repeating myself. But when I translated the sermon where the bull came up to him, and where he reports some experiences, and is then asked, is this the power of God? Is this the gift of God? Or what is this? And he says a very simple sentence, it is the love of God. And he says, when I saw this bull running towards me, I loved him. Yes, we can't just take a slice. We can take a whole loaf and live on it for quite a long time. He says, it's love. Instead of running away, he said, I loved the beast. And he's not being childish, but like a child, and says, I'm sorry, I trespassed on your territory and startled you. I'm sorry. Oh, creature of God, lie down in peace. And the animal lay down. This a human being shall understand. Men of God and songwriters have tried to describe the love of God. And one of them probably got it right and said, if the whole ocean were ink and the whole sky a scroll, and you wanted to write this love down, the ocean would be dry and the sky would not be written in full. This is the love of God. Beloved, Brother Branham also spoke about this, filio and agape, human and divine love. Everything human will cease, but of love it says, or even gifts and some things will cease, but love never ceases. This divine love, which was revealed on Golgotha through our Savior for all the redeemed, may now be revealed through all the redeemed to Him and to one another by grace. For the finishing of God's work will not happen with Hallodria and the sound of trumpets. Rather, the perfection of everything connected with a bright church will take place in divine love, embedded in love, coming to fulfillment. And we will only reach perfection with our Lord in this way. May the faithful God prepare us for the days ahead of us through these powerful words of the Holy Scripture, so that all who come will be blessed and that they feel the peace of God when they are around us or come in or just drive or enter the premises, that they feel here is God because here is love. And where God is, there can only be love and there can only be salvation. There can only be grace. There can only be forgiveness. Because God has given us all this in Christ. It is not an empty doctrine, but a full experience with our God. Praise be to His name. Amen. Let us stand and pray. O Lord, Heavenly Father, we thank you from the depth of our hearts for your powerful word. Your word is truth. Your word brings life. Your word is a lamp to our feet and a light on our path. Lord, when we look into your word, it is as if we are looking into a mirror. We ask you, O Lord, I for myself personally, and we each for ourselves, help us to be so immersed in this love that you have had, completely and wholly in your love, as we have heard, as it was in your servant, our dear brother Branham. Lord, it is not yet so. We do not say it as if we already have it, but we ask, you have prepared it for us, and we ask for it. Give it to me, give it to all of us. This perfect love for you, for your word, and for one another, O Lord. O Jesus, we look up in faith and trust in this morning hour. This is what you want, Lord, that we walk as you have walked, that we are in love as you want us to be. Lord, we pray to you and ask you to lead us all and guide us all into this spirit of meekness and humility. Let everything fall away from us that does not mean you, Lord, and give us your divine peace as you have proclaimed it. Lord, we need it. Give it to us by grace. May we see your pierced hands, Lord, this morning, as those were allowed to see them, O God. Worship and honor to your name. Lord, we ask you to give many prayers in our hearts that we may meet you this morning, that we may say, you are with us, Lord. You were with us. Lord, work through your good Holy Spirit. Lord, we do not doubt that you are in our midst. You are in the midst of your people. For you are there where your word is preached in truth, and there you are in our midst. We pray to you and ask you to help my brothers, my sisters, help us all in these days. Help all who are to come, Lord, my God. This is our inner petition, This is our inner desire, O Lord. May it happen, as it has been said, Lord, that all who come will be blessed, Lord. Help, my God, then we will be helped. We worship you in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. Lord Jesus, my Savior and Helper, I bow before you in humility. I die to the world and all that is in it. I count all things for loss, even here. You, Lord, are the potter, and I am the clay. Do with me as it pleases you, until the image of Jesus is perfected in me. Lord Jesus, oh, help me to serve you and save souls for you. Oh, may my life and my walk lead them to the glorious light. You, Lord, are the potter, and I am the clay. Do with me as it pleases you, until the image of Jesus is perfected in me. Lord, help me to be always patient and to rest completely in faith. Oh, teach me to do to my brother as I would have him do to me. You, Lord, are the potter, and I am the clay. Do with me as it pleases you, until the image of Jesus is perfected in me. Lord Jesus, grant me faithfulness. I will firmly resist the enemy, that one day when I must depart, I may be ready to go. You, Lord, are the potter, and I am the clay. Do with me as it pleases you, until the image of Jesus is perfected in me.